So I hope you're all enjoying the variety of speakers. You never know who's going to get up to speak. Actually, apparently, I heard Jens was supposed to speak last week, so even the elders aren't always sure who's going to end up speaking, but the Lord provided, so that's good to hear. All right, today I'm going to be talking. My message is titled Aliens and Strangers. It's not a sci-fi message. It's actually an expression that the Apostle Peter uses. So we're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 2. The text primarily we'll be looking at is verses 11 and 12. Before I get into that, I did want to mention some things related to missions that I'm doing. And one is that there are believers in Kenya, and I think we have the pictures here, where I've been able to help get them some Bibles, which is really exciting. As you know, on my Fresh Perspective channel, I talk a lot about Bibles, and as Americans, we usually have at least one Bible, right? Probably a lot of you have multiple Bibles. I now have many Bibles, but these believers here, some of them have never owned a Bible. They've never had one. So it means so much to them to be able to help them get a copy of God's Word. And so I'm so grateful. I think up there you'll see Pastor Titus on the left and Pastor Bernard on the right. They're from two different places in Kenya. But that's really something I'm excited about. But also, I want to put it out there that this is something I'd love to do more of, but it does cost money. So just pray about that. That's something I might ask other believers in churches if they want to contribute to help send more Bibles. Because one of the pastors here, Pastor Bernard, said that we sent him the Bibles and they did this Bible study. And they were sharing the Bibles that were sent. So they're using them, but they still don't have enough for everybody, which is a good problem to have, right? There are more people hungering for God's Word than there are actually copies of God's Word. So they are just so grateful and excited to receive the Word of God. And a reminder for us how blessed we are, right? Yeah. So we should be praying for them. So that's really good news. Along with Bibles themselves, I also, and we're sending to different countries, so Bible translation is something I talk about. And I know it's something near and dear to the heart of this church. I actually plan to produce a Bible translation booklet, which is really just to help people to know a little bit more about Bible translations. Because here in where we live, if you go to a bookstore, even Walmart, you'll see different Bibles, right? So we kind of have a different problem. It's which Bible do I get? And I know a lot of people, I've interacted with them on my channel. It's confusing to them. So I wanted to produce a little guidebook. I think I have a picture about that. Yes, and it's not finished. I wrote kind of a rough draft. What I want to do before I really put it out there is get some people to read it. So if this is your thing, if you're interested in reading a rough draft of something like this and giving me some feedback, it would help me out a lot. So you can just email me, that's the email there, and let me know if you'd like to read this rough draft of the Bible translation guide. And what will happen is I will take any feedback that's given to me and hopefully improve it, because when you're writing, you just don't know, you know, how people are understanding or if they're understanding what you're saying. So it would help me out a lot if anybody would like to do that. So you don't have to email, by the way. If you want to talk to me, you're allowed to do that too. Just so you know. Only email. No, you can talk to me. And then one other thing I want to mention here, again, related to mission work, is just being able to go to different churches and speak. I actually gave this message that I'm going to be talking about today, I gave it at Remix downtown for Life Fellowship Church. And so they do like a live stream once a month at Remix, and I was able to speak last month there, and it was great, but they tend to have more limited time than we do, so you're going to get the extended cut of this message. I hope that's okay. Also a church in Vermont, United Church of South Royalton, they call it Red Door Church. That's kind of their nickname for their church because they have a red door. That's a church I'll be speaking at the week after next. So keep that in prayer too. It is great to have opportunities to speak, but I will say it's really nice to speak here because I've spoken here. I know you. I think we kind of have the ability to communicate clearly. You know, we know each other. When you go into a new setting, you really don't always know if what you're saying is coming across the way you mean it to come across. You've ever been in that kind of a situation? So if you've ever met a stranger, you kind of have to build that rapport. So try doing that with, 100 people, right? It's not always easy, and when you're sharing God's word, and this, by the way, this church is, in a different denomination. So I have been learning over the years how to do that, but it is interesting going to these different churches. But Pastor Josh there is a wonderful biblical preacher that God has sent here, and the church there wanted, I think, a real person who is going to share the word of God, share the scripture. And so he's been doing that and sharing the gospel, and I'm excited to encourage him. He's also going to be going away on sabbatical for a few months. And so I will be helping out maybe with some preaching and definitely some music over there. Here and there I'll be helping out a little bit. But this is one of the areas of ministry God has opened up, is just for me to encourage some different pastors in different churches. And where we are in New England, especially pastors, they really do need encouragement, don't they? That it can be discouraging. So that is a wonderful ministry opportunity God has given me to encourage pastors. So enough about the missions stuff. I'm going to share from 1 Peter here on aliens and strangers. But let's pray before we look into the word. I thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given me to be able to share your word today. Thank you so much for everybody who you have brought here today. You brought here for a purpose. And this is the moment, this is the time where we have the opportunity to hear from you, to hear what you, Lord, have to say to us. So as we open your word, help us to hear it as your word and to regard it in that way and to take it to heart. And if there is anyone here today who doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, I pray this would be the day the Holy Spirit would open their eyes and their heart. And for anybody here, all of us really who are here as Christians, I pray that you'll strengthen us in the areas we need to be strengthened. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you do in our lives, and we just continue to pray for that work even here and now. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. On April 23rd of this year, there was a pastor in England, Pastor Sherwood. He was arrested in London for preaching a sermon outdoors in a public setting, and he was really just preaching on what the Bible says about marriage. And people complained. They didn't like his message. And he was actually arrested and taken into custody. And ultimately, he was not charged, but they took him off the street in handcuffs and put him in jail overnight. That was in England, and it's easy for us to say, well, that was England. But when you really think about it, we're all part of this place called the West, and we see what's happening in the West, don't we? We see that there are signs of more and more resistance and even hostility to Christianity and the Christian message, especially when we're trying to actually be faithful to what the Scripture teaches. Well, Peter, who I'm going to be reading from here today, 1 Peter, the apostle, was writing to Christians who were experiencing different levels of persecution. They were living in an area that we know today as Asia Minor, and he was writing to them because they were beginning to be challenged and even, you know, on some level be persecuted because they were Christians. And so he wrote this letter, 1 Peter, to encourage these Christians, to strengthen them and help them to know that what they're going through as Christians and even the hostility that they face in this world is not to be unexpected. As Christians, we should expect that we're going to face resistance and we may even suffer as a result of our faith in Christ. So these early Christians, they needed encouragement. And I think today we need it too. I've titled this message Aliens and Strangers because, and I'm going to actually read 1 Peter 2:11 and 12 in the New American Standard Bible. This is the 95 edition because it uses these terms. But you'll see in the King James, there's a couple of different terms. You can read along, though, in the New King James. Peter says here, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." So Peter is encouraging the believers here to live out their faith in Christ. And he really details that in really wonderful, helpful ways throughout this letter, how to live as a Christian in this world in which we don't fit in. But he says here that he's urging the Christians as aliens and strangers. So the first part here that we're looking at is what I've titled identity. This is our identity as Christians. And what he says here is that we're not like the people around us, okay? Aliens and strangers. So we don't fit in to this world if we're Christians. And that's just something we have to be reminded of. It's easy for us to say, I want to fit in. But he says here, you're aliens and strangers. He talks in this letter about how they have been born again by the Word of God. I do have some references in your notes. But I'm going to read from 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. And it's that word he's saying there by which you have been born again. You've been born again. So if you have been born again by the word of God and by hearing the gospel and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have a new life, don't you? And baptism signifies that, right? That death that we have with Christ, united with Christ in death, we're raised to new life. So as a result, what are we now in this world as Christians? We're aliens and strangers. We have a new citizenship. That's what we just read a little bit ago from Philippians. Your citizenship is now where? In heaven. And if your citizenship is in heaven, then you can see why, as Christians, we're going to feel out of place. Now, the words aliens and strangers there, these are translations of Greek words, but the word aliens is a word that some translations use for this. It can also be sojourners, I think is what the New King James has there, foreigners. But the idea here is you are someone who is living here, but you are a foreign person to where you live, and you don't have really the full rights of citizenship. So you're a foreign resident. And that's a term. Alien is a term that, you know, we have used a lot to describe people from other countries, but we also do use it for people or beings from outer space, right? So that's why, thank you. That's why I actually wanted to use this term. It sticks out in our minds. And I gave this message also with young people here at CCA. And I like to mention E.T. Yeah, keep that picture up. I want that really to burn, sear into your minds. This is you. This is you. You are an alien. Okay? Now, the thing is, E.T., if you have watched the movie, you know that he definitely stuck out. They were trying to hide him, but that's because he stuck out. If he was walking down the street, people would have noticed. And then the other word, aside from alien, is strangers. Again, not a word, and this is the New American Standard, it uses strangers. The other word might be pilgrim or exiles. These are ways to translate that word. But the idea of stranger sticks in our head too, because these are not necessarily positive terms. To be an alien and a stranger, it's not comfortable. And so when you think of a stranger, is that something like, and I've asked the children this, what do you think of when you think of stranger? Stranger, and they all can answer, danger, right? So how do you like being thought of as a stranger in this world? There's a sense of danger. And actually, there's a word that we even use to talk about the fear of people that are different, right? We call that xenophobia. And that is what people have toward us, right? They sense that there is something out of place. We're not like people around us in this world. So we're aliens and we're strangers. And the thing about that is our natural reaction is we don't like that. We actually, as humans, develop terms for people that are derogatory if they're not from where we are, right? It's what we do. If you're not from a certain place, I never heard the term where I grew up, I never heard the term flatlander. But it's something I have heard up here. Yeah, some people are laughing. You don't hear it in New Jersey because it is flat. But if you're from rural areas, you might be called a hillbilly. All right? But it goes both ways. And this is what I find fat. I looked up these words, and it's interesting. Like city dweller. You know, that's a city dweller. Or if you live in a city and someone comes and you're kind of thinking, oh, they don't know a lot because they don't come from, you know, my class of area, they might call them a hick. So we have these different terms, but what they're basically saying, and it goes both ways, if someone from the city goes to a rural area, they can put them down, right? If someone from a rural area or country comes to the city, they can put them down. What are they really saying? You're not from around here. You're not from around here. That's us as Christians. You're not from around here if you're a Christian, right? We just read your citizenship is in heaven. So you're going to get this feeling of you're not from around here. That's our identity. Now, we don't like that. That our natural reaction is to buck against that. We don't like to be weird or stick out. We don't want to be like that E.T. character. We'd be pretty self-conscious if we stick out that much. But if you follow Jesus, be ready to stand out. If you follow Jesus, be ready to stand out. And I know those of us, you know, we've been in church, we've heard these things before, but we need to be reminded because there is the pressure of our culture that more and more wants us to look and act a certain way, and it's many times not really following what Jesus says, right? I had a youth group title I gave the youth group when I led it years ago, and some of you probably remember that. It was called Peculiar People. And that was actually a phrase used in the King James Version to describe Christians. Peculiar people. And our tagline was Standing Out for Christ. But there was another youth group town over from us that we got together with sometimes, and you know what their youth group name was? Aliens. And I love their tagline, "We'll take you to our leader." But those were both acknowledgments of what we're talking about here. That if you're a Christian, we were trying to instill that in the young people. Because all of us want to fit. Thank you. Thank you for searing that image into everyone's head. All of us want to fit in. But as Christians, we have to accept that we're not going to fit in. And we have to be willing to stand out because of our identity with Jesus. Now, there are times when being a Christian, people will say good things about you. But what Peter is addressing here are those times where they say bad things about you. And they are actually against you because you're a Christian. So we need to be ready for this. So that's our identity. Number two, our behavior. Our behavior. So once you know who you are in Christ, he's talking now about how you live that out. How do you behave in this world? And he says here, again in chapter 2, verse 11, by the way, I am, all the verses that are in 1 Peter, I will read some of those verses. I don't have them up here because I figure you can turn there pretty quickly if you have your Bible open to 1 Peter. But I do have some passages in other books that I will have up here. But this is 1 Peter 2:11. He says, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, and now here's where he's telling us how to live, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. So he says here that we need to abstain from fleshly lusts. That's the first point there. And I know I haven't necessarily been doing a good job of giving you the blanks. I apologize. I think if I didn't say it before, the second point was we are out of place and will be seen as unusual. For those of you who are nitpicky about getting the right word, but this point here under behavior is we are to abstain from fleshly lusts. And I do have Galatians here as a reference. Where the works of the flesh are talked about. You can see this list here. And these are things you see in our culture. And this is universal. This was seen in Peter's day as well. Not just our culture, it was seen then too. These are fleshly things. And Christians are not to be characterized by these things, are they? When you look up here, you can just see this list and you say, that's the kind of thing I'm to abstain from that. John says, and I don't have this verse, but I will read it, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. So there are these things within us, and I wish sometimes I had a light that would go off and actually just name what I'm dealing with. I don't know if you would like that too. Not for everybody to see, but privately, that I could see. That I could say, oh, I'm dealing with that. Because these are things that a lot of times are not named. We just feel them. But they're fleshly lusts. And they lead us down a sinful path. That's our natural bent, isn't it? The thing that almost makes it worse, it definitely makes it worse in many ways, is we're actually told in our culture to follow what we feel. Naturally. Aren't we told that? Yep. And I was watching a Disney movie pretty recently with my children, and that message you hear that comes out a lot in that movie is follow your heart, right? Follow what you really desire or what you really think is right in your own heart. That's what the message of our culture is. Follow your heart. And what is okay and good is what you personally feel is good. But what does Peter say? That's not how Christians look at it. Christians, by definition, go against the natural desires. They're looking at their natural desires saying, there's probably something wrong. Because we know, if we've ever watched the outcome of going by our natural desires, it doesn't go well. Sin, it says here, is warring against your soul. Have you felt that? Sin wars against the soul. So just think about the results of going down this road of living for what we want to live for naturally. Where does that bring us in our own lives? And what does it do to people around us? What does it do to our culture? And I'm always just amazed that people believe that humans, many people believe that humans deep down are so good. And then I think if that's true, why do we have the kinds of things you see in this culture and in this world? It's very destructive. Now, we're good at hiding it, but when you hear statistics on the way people actually treat each other, we're not good, are we? All have sinned, the scripture says, and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death and separation from God and hell. Sin wars against your soul. Now, I am so encouraged that in the midst of a culture that is going very strongly in one direction, I see people, I can think of a couple of examples where there are some men that their lives have been radically changed. And they've even written books about that. You've read these books too, but I mean, it is just incredible to see. And I was hoping, I'm still hoping to get one of them on my channel, so we'll see if that works out. But I'm just thinking of these people that they had every reason our culture could tell them, you live how you want to live, but they are choosing to live differently because of the work of Jesus Christ in their heart. Amen. And because they have believed the gospel. That's what Peter's talking about. And that's for all of us, because we all have desires that are fleshly lusts. All of us. Doesn't matter who you are. So abstain from fleshly lusts, and I love this next part. Keep your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. So the Gentiles is just a general reference to the world outside of the church. And he says, keep your conduct honorable. And the Greek word there is kalos, which is beautiful, of excellent quality. Now this is where I'm going to follow Chip Lowry's example. Got my bag. It's not a paper bag today, but it's always good to pull things out of bags, right, Chip? So I'm going to pull out my hat. So I've talked before about this, but I collect baseball hats. People who watch my channel have actually been sending me hats from different places around the country and even Canada. That's a Canadian team, for those of you who didn't know. The Toronto Blue Jays. And this person actually ended up sending a shirt. My daughter's wearing a shirt that she sent. So you're going to see some Blue Jays stuff today. But I like to bring out this hat because I have to say, I'm a Phillies fan, you know that. You've accepted me, in spite of my wayward sports affiliations. But this hat here, even as a Phillies fan, I had to say this is a really well-done hat. It just, if you see it up close, it's got a lot of detail. The Blue Jay, the Maple Leaf, just a really nice hat. It's how I would describe the idea of kalos, beautiful, nice. It is what you would want it to be. And so when he says keep your conduct honorable, he's saying It should be the kind of life that people can look at and say, on some level, it's a beautiful thing, the way that you live your life. Now, sorry if I'm offending all you Red Sox fans. I do have a Red Sox hat. I like that one, too. This one's special, though, on multiple levels. I got sent this hat early this year, and then I started reporting on a pastor named James Coates. And later I found out, and she told me, it was his mother-in-law that had sent me this hat. And James Coates actually spent 35 days in prison for continuing to have his church meet in the Edmonton area, even though there were very tight COVID restrictions. But he felt convicted that they needed to continue to meet and worship, and so he ended up getting in trouble with the government there. So this was his mother-in-law who sent this. So they've gone through some suffering. So that's a reminder to me. But this is what Peter's saying. We need to live kolos lives among the Gentiles. Colossians chapter 4 says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. I'm sorry I don't have this up here. But he says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So he says there, let your speech be seasoned with grace. When you're being attacked or slandered, what's your natural reaction in your speech? Would you say, it's always seasoned with grace? I don't know how many of you saw this, but there's a man named Mike Lindell. He's a Christian, and he sells MyPillow. Now, this is not a MyPillow advertisement. I don't have one, although he's kind of making me want to get one. He went on a talk show, and the host of that talk show, Jimmy Kimmel, is someone who, we'll just say, highly disagrees with Mike Lindell. In Mike Lindell's philosophy, especially politically. Mike Lindell went onto that program as a Christian, and he was really in enemy territory. And it's not going to surprise you that a late-night talk show host teased him, and it was hard on him. But you know what? Everybody in the comments, if you watch that video, even people that were like, I thought I was going to come on here and watch Mike Lindell get, you know, it was going to be great just to see what Jimmy did to him. And they said, wow, he really won me over. You know why? He had speech seasoned with grace. He was living out the kind of character that Peter's talking about here. And Peter says in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. I really feel like Mike Lindell gave a good answer. And actually, at one point when the host was saying, you know, here's how I would characterize your life. Did I miss anything? And Mike Lindell said, yeah, you did. You missed the point where I got off of drugs because of what Jesus Christ did in my life, is basically what he said. He testified of the Lord Jesus openly. And you know, the end result of that is he was respected in that instance because of how he responded. Initially ridiculed, but ultimately respected because of the character he displayed. What a lesson for us. That's exactly what Peter is talking about. Because what does he say here? Having your conduct honorable, kolos. That when they slander you, they speak against you as evildoers, this is what's going to happen. People are going to speak evil against us. And here's the thing, when the culture reacts negatively, our natural reaction as humans is to think, I must be wrong because I'm getting a negative reaction, right? If you do something and someone reacts negatively, it's impulsive to say, oh, did I do something wrong? But you hear what Peter's saying? They're going to slander you. That's going to happen. So when they slander you, it's a reminder that if the culture is reacting negatively, it doesn't necessarily mean you're doing something wrong. It might mean you're doing something right. And I love what Pastor Sam Coberly from Lake Sunapee Baptist Church nearby said. He said, why is it every time a pastor gets interviewed on TV, they start stuttering about what the Bible says? And he made this observation on Facebook. And you can hear the conviction in his heart. He says, we need a Holy Spirit invasion in our pulpits. If you're ashamed of Jesus, please stop giving interviews. And in characteristic Sam Coberly fashion, he ends it with a smiley face. he's so kind-hearted. But I mean, what he's saying there is serious, isn't it? Like, if you're going to get up in front of the culture, you got to be willing to give the truth. Like Mike Lindell, right? He got it right. He wasn't ashamed. So our identity is that we're aliens and strangers. Our behavior, I'm getting ahead of myself, is that we live Colossae lives. Peter does, by the way, give a lot of examples of what it looks like to live a beautiful life. And I am gonna wrap up this sermon today and talk about impact next week, because like I said, this is the extended cut and we're running out of time. But I will say this, that when Peter talks about the beautiful life we are to live, those good works, it's the same word that Jesus uses for good fruit, right? We're to have good fruit in our lives. And I think fruit is a wonderful picture for us, because fruit is an outgrowth of the tree, of what's inside. So we don't, I think one author put it this way, it was very memorable. You don't take apples and tape them onto a tree. Apples are supposed to grow from an apple tree. Jesus said, make the tree good and the fruit will be good, right? So this is the work God does in our hearts, and then the fruit of that is good. And you know, when it comes to fruit, you want that fruit to be good, right? When fruit is not good, you really don't want to eat it. Right? You actually want to get rid of it. It's horrible if it's not good. What a beautiful picture, what an apt picture of the way we behave in our lives. It can either be the kind of fruit that people say, ugh, or the kind of fruit that is kalos, good fruit. And you know what good fruit is like. It's so wonderful to experience. So these are and this is how Jesus lived his life. Now, we often will say, be like Jesus. The problem with that is we don't have the exact same role as Jesus. Obviously, we're different in nature than him too. But even in terms of what he did, he was doing the ministry that his Father had specifically given him to do. We all have different roles, don't we? So today we're celebrating the role of mothers. There's my Mother's Day reference, so happy Mother's Day. Right? But to live a Colossae life, it has to be tailored to your role. So you can go through and read in 1 Peter, but he talks about for all of us living, even though we're citizens of heaven, we're actually supposed to have obedience to our authorities, right? We're not supposed to be rebellious. So he says, follow the law. Honor those authorities that God has placed, those government authorities. He talks about servants. And you could think, wow, man, being a servant, worst situation. He says, use that situation to show the right kind of character to honor the Lord. He talks about wives. Wives having good character and their beauty being who they are from their inward beauty. And being respectful, submissive to their husbands. And husbands, he says, are to be understanding toward their wives. and to honor them. He talks about how we're all supposed, and I read this earlier, to give a gracious answer to those who are outside the faith. Not returning evil for evil, but having a loving, humble character. So I want to read these verses from 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So, our identity is that we are going to stand out because we're aliens and strangers. Our behavior, though, is that as we stand out, what should people see in our lives? They should see this beautiful behavior. Kalos, good fruit that the Lord is doing in our lives. And we apply it to the role that God has given to us, whatever role we have. And next week, we'll talk about the impact that that can have on the culture. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for these reminders. Your word encourages us because it's not just human wisdom. This is wisdom that comes from above. Also, we're grateful, Lord, that it's not human strength. It's divine strength that you give to do this. Lord, I pray that you will help us to stand out and not to be ashamed. But as Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Help us, Lord, as Christians to embrace that we're going to stand out. And as we do, Lord, I pray that what people will see characterizing our lives are those spirit-filled qualities, those beautiful behaviors, that when people look at that, when they first slander us, they might be against us, but when they see the way that we're behaving, the way that we're responding, and the attitude that we have, and the good works, the good fruit you're bringing out, that ultimately it leads them to glorify God. I pray, Lord, that you would use us to be those kinds of people. And again, Lord, we just pray that if anyone is here today who's not a Christian, that today they would give their life to Jesus Christ. I pray you'd work in each and every one of our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.